All right, thank you, folks. Most of you know Brother Scotty Drake, of course, a church member here. He's gone a lot on the mission trips, but also Brother Tom Knickerbocker. He's been with us a number of times, and he was pastoring down Arcadia way, but God called him into the full-time mission work with Brother Drake and the rest of them under Helps Ministries, and they go a lot of places and do a lot of service to the Lord with the missionaries. And Brother Tom Knickerbocker is with us. I'm going to ask him to come up. He'll say a word, and then he'll introduce some of the missionaries. And we'll be hearing from whatever it is, three or four of them that will say something to us this morning. You can say you went to a church where they had a real live missionary that you could see. A lot of churches talk about it, but they don't really have that much to show. But that's what we have. Once a year, we have our mission conference. And this is it, and it's been good. Brother Tom, come on up and introduce them for us.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Carter. We're so glad to be here today, and we appreciate what God's doing. We thank the Lord for Danny Harvey, and he's been a blessing. He's been helping us drive the men around, and we have been very, very busy since September 22nd. We will have been, at the end of this week, we'll have been in 48 churches, over 150 services, and with seven of our national pastors and six volunteer drivers. So if you want to be a volunteer driver, just let us know. We can probably fit you in somewhere along the line next year. But we're having a wonderful time, and it's a real privilege to get to travel these men, get to know them, and they love the Lord. They're committed. They're all pastors. They're church planters. They train national pastors, all of them do, and it's just a wonderful privilege to belong to Help Ministries and see what God's doing. It's an effective, very effective program that's around the world. We're in 70 countries. We support over 500 national pastors, and the Lord is blessing. We're seeing probably one church planted every day somewhere in the world, and it's really encouraging. I just want to share a couple of thoughts from Isaiah with you just for a moment, and then we're going to turn over to the fellows and give them each about 5 minutes. We have one that's got a 2 or 3 minute video he wants to show, and I think that's all set up back there. In Isaiah chapter 6, I want to give you a thought from Isaiah 6 and Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 6 verse 3, it says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Here's in the presence of God, you have these seraphims that are traveling, flying around, six wings, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I got thinking about that, and I said, now really, is the earth really full of God's glory? Well, would these angels lie in the presence of God? No, they wouldn't. So we know it is. In Psalm 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare what? The glory of God." God's glory is seen in his creation. Yeah. You can't look at creation and not see God unless you don't want to see him. Yeah. Amen? There's something this verse does not say. This says the whole earth is full of his glory, but it doesn't say the whole earth is full of his story. The story of Jesus has yet to be heard by millions and millions of people. And so that's the purpose for missions, is to not only is to take the glory of God and point to a creator God, and then he's not only the creator, but he's the savior as well as that. And then I want you to go to Isaiah 66. And there are three verses here that really tell it. Now, Isaiah 6 was written, it refers to a time that was 400 years before Jesus Christ ever came. But Isaiah 66 is the future. We have not seen this yet. We hope to see that. We will see this because God says it's going to happen. In chapter 66 and verse 18, it says, "I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." And see, God wants, he wants glory from all around the whole earth. He wants it from every one of the 24,000 people groups that are in our world today. He wants it from every of the 250 nations that are in our world today. God's glory is to be seen in heaven in the people that are sprinkled throughout the world, and God wants a representation of every one of those people groups from all around the world. That's why it's necessary that we get the gospel to every creature. Now look at verse 19, the last part of that. It says, "And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles." God's interested in everyone hearing the word of God. They see his glory, then they declare his glory. By the way, you'll only declare what you know. If you're not saved, you have nothing to talk about. If you're saved, you have everything to talk about. But now look down in verse 23. It says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." They see his glory, they declare his glory, and then they bring others to his glory. Folks, that's missions, isn't it? That's future yet. Not everybody has seen God's glory. Not everybody, they know about his glory as far as creation. They see the sun, but they don't know about the Son of God. They see the trees, but they have yet to learn of Calvary. They know about the heavens, but it's a matter of the heart. They've got to know Jesus Christ and how from 800 or 400 years before Christ to the future, where are we? We're right here in the middle somewhere. So our job is to reach the nations with the gospel. How are we going to do that? How are we going to get into every nation? How are we going to permeate every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We believe it can be done through the nationals. We believe that God has put in many of these countries believers, and God has called some to the ministry. They're preaching, they're teaching the word of God. You're going to hear from them right now. And we're excited about what God's doing around the world in many countries of the world. We have Kenya, Africa, that is represented here. We're going to start off with two Kenyans, and then Brother Silverio is going to come, and he is a Filipino who is a missionary to Bangladesh, one of the poorest countries in the world. And then Brother Gaines Hanef will finish up, and he's from Suriname. And so we're going to have them come one right after the other, and it'll take us right up to 10 minutes of. Brother Sudi, if you'd come first and give us a testimony of what God's doing in your life.
Good morning.
Morning.
Jambo.
Jambo.
Thanks so much. Jambo is a Kenyan greeting. You can respond by saying Jambo. Jambo.
Jambo.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, pastor. Thank you so much. Pleasure to stand before you. My name's Eliud Sudi from Kenya. I'm married. My wife's name is Ruth, with four children, two girls and two boys, 26 to 10. I got saved on 10th of August, 1981. It was on the evening of that day. I remember when I was just from my place of work, and I was in my little house resting, a wooden house. And then while I was in my house, within a short time, I started hearing a voice coming from my neighbor's house. You know, wooden house, you easily hear what is going on in the other house. So this man, I could not recognize the voice, and this man was speaking about the love of God for the world. He was sharing the gospel to my neighbor. And to my notice, I realized that he was using the Bible, of which at that time I had never come in contact with. And then eventually I started, the verses started singing into my heart. Eventually there was that heavy conviction on my heart. Now I could not resist it. And therefore I left my house and I went and I knocked at my neighbor's house. Of course I entered and I saw a white man seated at the small table in my neighbor's house. When this man saw me, he asked me what he could do for me. And then I responded by saying, "I have heard everything you have been talking about. How can I get saved?" This man of God was so excited, he took the Bible and he led me to the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became Lord and the Savior of my life. From there on, he invited me to his church. He had just started a church in that community. in Nairobi, the capital city of Kenya, and he discipled me, and came 1994 December, I resigned my job and I went to Bible College. After Bible College, I stepped forward to the ministry as a pastor, and I started a church with the help of God and my wife. And this church was started under a tree, under the shade of a tree, because there was nowhere to meet as a church. God has blessed us, and out of this church, we have started 6 other churches. God is so much blessing in our church. We are mission-minded, but not like this church. I've just looked there, and I'm like almost fainting. These are great men and women of God. They really love God, Pastor, and I've learned so much within a very short time about the missions. Anyway, we have started 6 churches, as I've said, and before that, I had no better understanding on the concept of mission until Help Ministries came to Kenya. When Help Ministries came to Kenya, they took time to teach us more about the missions, the need to start churches, and we started the course, and right now in Kenya, many churches have been started because of Help Ministry. I just want to thank Help Ministry through the leadership of Brother Scott, because they have done so much. I want to thank Brother Tom, who has taken time to share more about the Help Ministry as he takes us around the churches. Pastor and your church, we are here and we thank you for allowing us to be part of this fellowship this morning. We pray and we continue to pray that you will continue to stand with us, will continue to pray for us, will be willing to partner with us so that we can do the work that you cannot do because we are there. Of course, by the way, I was saved through the missionary from America.
Good morning. I am George Situma, was born in Kenya. I'm a Kenyan. I'm a pastor at Heritage Baptist Church in Nairobi. If you happen to visit Nairobi, we are on the south of the city. I'm married. God has blessed us with 5 children, 3 girls, Mercy, Grace, and Peace, and 2 boys, Kaki and Sifa. Got saved in 1986 in September. When I was in high school, I was 18 years old. I was away from home, and our school was invited to a rally where we came together as schools, presented songs, had never heard the gospel as it is, though I had been in touch with the Bible but never owned one and so forth. But the first time I heard the gospel the right way, the truth of God's word from John 14 verse 6, and I walked down the aisle to ask Christ to come into my heart. A brother in that church took me on the side and asked me, "Why did you come?" And I actually almost went over the whole sermon because I really knew why I had come. And he asked me, "If that is the reason, just kneel beside the wall and ask him to come into your heart." And I did that. I asked Christ to come into my heart. About 3, 4, 5 years later, I heard the gospel preached about entering full-time service. And this was by the pastor of the church, of a Baptist church that I had become a pastor of. And I surrendered my life that God may be able to take and use me as he wished. And about a year or so later, a Bible college was started at the same church. And I actually had to quit my work and go to Bible college to train in preparation for the work. 4 years down the road, the missionary quit the work as pastor and went across town to start a new Baptist church. And he asked me to help him. And so I went and I was his deputy or assisted him for 5 years. Then he came back to the States and took another job. But then when he came to preach the last sermon, while there as pastor, he asked me to take over the work. I have been there for 12 years now, and God has allowed us to start 3 churches. And we also support a missionary, a Kenyan man in Tanzania, just a country south of our country. Allow me share a thought from John chapter 4 and verse 35. One verse, John 4, verse 35. I'll read it. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I hope I will be within my time frame. One of those three churches that we started is like between 8 and 9 hours drive from Nairobi town on the west of the country. And for you to get from Nairobi to the west, you have to go through the Rift Valley. We have a Rift Valley in our country. So you have to drive through. And one day early last year, I went, took some young people, college and career age group, to go to this new church, our branch, our mission, that we may be able to encourage that minister and also knock on doors and bring as many as God we may use us to bring to himself. And while we went through the valley, when we started climbing, the van we had overheat. We pulled on the side, did what I call the first aid, and then after like a few minutes, we got back on the road and started climbing again. After like 20 minutes, it overheat again. The first time, about 2 young people came to help us, bring us some more water. The second time, there were several, but I was mad. I was not happy because I'm carrying college and career or young people who are after high school, and I want to reach there early enough, plan where the girls will sleep or where the boys will sleep, go over the program with the pastor, and so that we are set, we want to hit the road from the first day. Here we are on the road, we may reach late, and it will not be good. And that when God spoke to me about lifting up your eyes and seeing what he's doing. By the time I was looking around, there was more than 15 young people, both boys and girls from the neighborhood, helping us to get our van again in a running position. And I got my boys and girls together and he said, hey, what we are going to do in Kitale starts here. And 38 souls that day on that roadside received Christ as their Savior. So I come to say, please pray with us. We are basically learning to join God, what he's doing in us and around us, that he may accomplish his will. Trusting God to plant a new church in Kismayu, south of Somalia. As a country, that is where most of our problems have come from. But God loves them too. They are predominantly Muslim, but God loves even Muslims. And we want to see that God will draw as many to himself, even in that country. May God bless you.
Good morning to each one of you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I'd like to present to you our bishop presentation of our ministry in Bangladesh. Just 2 minutes, then I will say something.
A burden made the day. Give me tears that like your love flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, they will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Lord, help me find my Gethsemane.
The short presentation that I have just that you have just seen this morning is tells us what been doing in that country. We started the ministry 2007 together with my family. And I praise the Lord that God brought us there and minister a few one of 25 families that we have started already a new work. And I do believe that God has stored a lot of things for us to do there, and reaching the people of Bangladesh. Just imagine, 170 million people, and Muslims, other religion, Hindus like this. And I believe that this church is willing to pray for us and be partner in our ministry in that country. Always remember, beloved in the Lord, we are not yet done with what the Lord wants us to do, and reaching the gospel to the region beyond. Let's pray for our dissident family. Thank you, and God bless us all.
Good morning, everyone. It's in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I want to stand in front of you, Pastor Mickey Carter, and be thankful to God for you, the American people, who have given sacrificially, not only in your tithes and love offering, but sacrificially in giving to support missionaries across the foreign field. My first name is Muhammad. Everybody called me Gaines, but that's just a nickname. I was raised in a Muslim generation of family. My grandfather's name is Ahmad Khan. And when I was born, my father named me after the Prophet Muhammad. My last name is Hanif, which means a faithful servant of Allah. My father and grandfather and my generation, they had high hopes and dreams for my life. Their hopes and dreams was that I will be raised in a Muslim mosque, take the teaching of Islam, and become a Maulana or an Imam. That would have been very, very exciting for my generation. We came from the Mustafa and the Hussein and the Khan and the Aziz and the Muhammads and the Ali. We came from that strong Muslim background. I remember in the Muslim mosque, we were being taught that Jesus Christ was a very good man, a religious man, a great teacher, but he died. We were being taught that Muhammad came after Christ. Therefore, Muhammad is the last and final prophet. We were being taught in the Muslim mosque that Christianity is not for us. It is a white man religion. And so I was 27 years old, about to become that leader in the Muslim mosque, about to fulfill the wish of my grandparents and generation and my dad. But long and behold, my heavenly father definitely had some other plans for my life. He took a young American missionary from this country, the God bless United States of America. He came there not with a lot of money. He came and ride a bicycle in the dusty road. He came there struggling to speak Dutch. Suriname, Dutch is the official language, with English compulsory second language. He came there struggling with the climate, 8 degrees away from the equator. He brought his wife and 2 little daughters, and he came to a foreign country. But he brought from this country a book, the Bible, God's Word, holy and inspired. He brought from this book a message that God has given to him and to you and I that are saved, to the world. Because the Apostle Paul reminded us when he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And he explained why. He said, "Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it." He came knocking at my door, and I was excited to see him because I was trained in the Muslim mosque, and I was thinking, there is no way a white boy can come to my home and tell me anything different. I went to the supermarket and I see him, Dr. Carter. I go to the grocery place, I see him. I go to the vegetable market and he's there. I said to my wife, he's everywhere. He came to my home. I didn't want to see him after a while. But I want to share this. He's the first American missionary that ever took a thumbtack and nailed a track on my door, making his presence known, riding away with his bicycle. Finally, we couldn't avoid each other because we were living in the same street. I'm here and about 5 minutes away is his home. He said, one day he came, he said, "Muhammad, it seems like we are bumping each other everywhere. He observed it, I observe it. Let us make a deal. You come with your Quran and I will come with my Bible and we will settle it together." I was excited. I said, "Well, finally you said something intelligent. Bring your Bible, I bring my Quran." I was waiting, we had a place 6 feet away from each other, so there will be no touching. This thing can turn into a fist fight. You know, a Muslim, a Quran and the Bible, and you know it. Well, he brought a Bible, Dr. Carter, that I've never seen in my life. He brought one of those big family Bible, and he had it under his arm. I have seen Bible, but they were small like this one. But not that big Bible. I've never seen a Bible that big. I think he brought that Bible to intimidate me. And he did. And he walked in, and I was standing there in my Quran. He said, "Muhammad, this is my Bible. I'll open it. And I will go first." And this is what he said. He said, "My Bible." And he opened his Bible like this, and he keep pointing to it, this big Bible. He said, "My Bible declare that in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And he said, "Muhammad, while you're thinking about number 1, let me give you number 2. My Bible declare that in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, God commanded his own love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for our sins." And he said, "Muhammad, while you're thinking about number 2, let me give you number 3. He said, "My Bible," and he keep pointing to his Bible, "declare in John chapter 15 and verse number 13 that Jesus said, 'Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends.'" And he said, "Muhammad, while you're thinking about number 3, let me give you number 4. My Bible declare that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 31 and verse number 3, God said, Muhammad, that he loved you with an everlasting love." He closed his Bible, he put it under his arm, he walked out, he got his bicycle and he ride away. He never wait for me to respond with the Quran. I thank God for what he did. And I thank God that you send your sons and your daughters. So in the spirit of thanksgiving, I want to thank you so very, very much for giving to the Lord and for sending your sons and your daughters. Come back tonight, and Dr. Carter will give an opportunity to a Muhammad saved by grace, preaching Christ. Hey! Invite your family and your friends and bring them so that they can hear Muhammad. This might be the final time that you will hear Muhammad preaching Christ. I'm surprised that Dr. Carter will do that. It must be grace. Thank you, Dr. Carter.
Paul Harvey says the rest of the story. The rest of the story will be tonight. And Brother Gaines will be speaking again. And folks, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, including Muslims.